Good afternoon, and welcome to Art Speak Radio. I'm your host, Maria Vasquez Boyd, and we've got just an action-packed hour for you. Thank you for tuning in to 90.1 FM KKFI, Kansas City Community Radio, making us a priority. So let's get started with what we've got on tap for today, and that is we've got this huge fall fun drive, and we're asking for listener support to keep this community radio alive. In the studio I have station manager and musician, nice guy, and it's his birthday, Barry Lee.
Hello. Musician, wow, I've never been called that before. Thank you. That's my best present yet.
Or magician, you know. So, Barry, let's talk about why it's important to support KKFI, or the community radio here in Kansas City.
Well, of course, the important word that you said there was community. And the reason that this station was founded was that we wanted to give the community a voice in not only the Kansas City airwaves, but the airwaves around us, because we're 100,000 watts.
Yeah.
And we think we've succeeded in that. We've now are approaching our 30th year. We get almost all of our funding from those of you who are listening out there and who have supported us all these years. There are people who have done this for decades, literally. And if you haven't yet, I would like you to think about the important resource that we have here at KKFI and the important programming, because this kind of show didn't exist. The kind of show that Maria does every week for you did not exist hardly at all in Kansas City. It's now starting to proliferate a little bit because people are listening to KKFI and they are taking the best of what they do, what we do, and adapting it. But the shows that cover the arts in a respectful, in a deep way, in a way that lets the artists give you their work unfiltered, that's really a rare thing. And it's something that you guys should support. The number is 888-931-0901. 888-931-0901. Support the arts in Kansas City. That's one of the reasons KKFI exists. We give artists, writers, poets, anyone who does anything creative has an outlet here at this station. And the fact that it is, you don't have to go through three or four or five different doors to get into this station. Our doors are open to the local artists and the local people who do things. And Maria is one of the best at what she does. So please support the arts in Kansas City by supporting KKFI, because it's a mutual benefit for both sides. And not only that, but your community, because you're not only helping us stay on the air, but you're helping keep a vital voice alive in the community.
You're
and
right.
Vital voices alive in the community when they all come together here. So call us at 888-931-0901. You're on your lunch break now. You have a little bit of time. Pick up that cell phone and call us.
And, you know, thank you, Barry, for that, because I think it's really important that we are the voice of the community, and that includes artists, writers, photographers, performers, you know, authors, poets, and all that. We've had a number of really terrific people on Art Speak Radio, really to sort of promote their work and educate the community about what they do for a living and what really feeds their souls. As a special thank you gift to listeners, I want to mention that I have a unique thank you gift for a pledge of $50 to support Art Speak Radio and 90.1 FM KKFI Kansas City Community Radio. Your pledge of $50 will earn you the opportunity to record your poems or your prose or haiku, whatever it is that you've written. You'll spend some time in the recording studio with me, and you know, you can spend up to 10 minutes of reading your work. The content is strictly up to you, because we don't have possession of your material. That is strictly yours. We'll do a minimal bit of editing, and we'll just, you know, you make your appointment with me, and we'll get you in sometime during a weekend, and you just bring your flash drive to the studio, download your work, poof, it's
yours.
And you
have a professionally recorded, you know, souvenir, if you will, of what you do.
Well, oftentimes I think sometimes that could also lend itself as a track to a visual poem or poetry.
Exactly.
So call me at 8. Well, call one of our
intrepid volunteers.
Our volunteers at 888-931-0901.
And, of course, you can also, if you're in the car right now, hopefully not driving this, if you're in the passenger seat, you can access us through the web at kkfi.org. You can make your pledge very quickly and efficiently online if you're not able to call in at the moment. If you're at work and you can take a little time out, hop over to our screen at kkfi.org, and there's a big fat donate button on the top right-hand side, if I remember correctly, unless we've moved it since I've been out of town. And all you need to do is click on that, and it takes literally a couple of minutes to go through the screens and help donate money to KKFI. So please take advantage of that if you're able to do that. If you're not able to call us at 888-931-0901, please go to the website and you can work on that. We're also working on an app for your phone. Hopefully for the next fund drive, you'll be able to somehow text us donations via your phone app. So that's coming down the pike, but we need money to accomplish all these things, of course, because upgrading our computer system, which is what we're working on at the moment, and our website, it does not come cheaply, and we like to have the best possible people work for us. So that helps. Every little bit that you pledge goes for something like that. We don't have a lot of salaries, overhead. The money literally keeps the lights on and the radio cranking. So,
and I will come to your house and shake out your pockets for a loose change. So you don't want that to happen. Thank you so much, Barry.
You're welcome, dear.
Thank you. I want to introduce, we have several guests in the studio this afternoon. We have Whispering Prairie Press, Jessica Connolly, who is the managing editor. We also have the beautiful and talented Natasha Ria Elskari, who's a poet, spoken word artist. And I should mention that Crystal Hyland joined us, wonderful designer, poet, and artist. So welcome to ArtSpeak Radio, Jessica and Crystal.
Thanks for having us.
You bet. So I do want to tell a little bit about Whispering Prairie Press, which was founded in 1991. It evolved out of a Kansas City writers group. The press began by publishing anthologies of local writers and has evolved to publish writers and artists from around the world. So now you're in your 13th year of publishing, is that right?
Well,
or 14th?
The 13th year of Kansas City Voices magazine, which is a periodical of arts and literature. It's an advertisement-free publication, 80 glossy pages, which makes a great cover art table book. But so it's the 13th year of this publication, but prior publications had come out before this.
And I also want to mention with that, Whispering Prairie Press was very generous. Kansas City Voices was very generous and giving us some of their magazines that have yet to launch.
That's correct. And they're brand new.
Yeah, so for $25, call 888-931-0901 and own this beautiful magazine from Kansas City Voices. So the launch party is going to take place pretty soon, yeah?
Yes, it's on Sunday at the Plaza branch of the Kansas City, Missouri Public Library. And the reason I asked Crystal to join us is she is actually our cover artist this year.
Terrific. And it's an honor.
One of the best things is Crystal works in a different medium. She does a lot of fabric work, and there's not a lot of places where you can showcase so many different types of work. But in print, it lets us photograph certain images, or lets us photograph different types of sculptures or fabric work. And so we can present it to a larger audience than the people who may be able to get to gallery shows. So that's one of my favorite parts, is getting people to a larger audience than they would normally have access to.
Well, and you know, the magazine is filled with... it is advertisement free. It's a glossy magazine that mixes art, poetry, and prose into a unique compilation. So let's talk about the cover.
Would
you like to do that?
Sure.
All right. Crystal, so your work is on the cover, and it's a textile piece?
It's actually one of my works on canvas. It is a painting. I think a lot of my work has that sort of feeling to it because that is my background. It's from my Gethsemane series. So my good friend Tom Ryan, who's not with us anymore, who is also a writer and a wonderful poet, he was working on a play about Thomas Merton. And through that process, I was working with him on this play and from a design standpoint as well. I became, you know, emotionally connected to the photography of Thomas Merton while he was in Gethsemane. So that's the background landscape, mm-hmm. and I've been working mm-hmm. with shadows for quite some time.
It's really lovely. You know, I am really taken by the art within the pages, which is truly a wonderful feat, and it showcases a lot of terrific artists, not only here in town, but in other cities?
Correct. And I think a huge credit to that is Marianne Getchell, who's our senior art editor. I've been managing editor for 4 years. She came on as art editor 3 years, so the second year I was doing it. And when she came on, she just brought a huge passion for it. And she also had the ability to connect with artists in our community and just bring in top quality, high caliber work from mm-hmm. all over. And the more artists we publish, then they tell their friends and it gets mm-hmm. around. And I think the great thing is visual art is not always paired with poetry or prose.
Right.
And what my favorite part as managing editor is to put those two things right next to each other, two things that seemingly have nothing in common, and maybe get somebody who would be drawn towards the visual art to take a minute to read the poem and realize, oh, maybe this isn't as inaccessible as I thought mm-hmm. it was. Mm-hmm. And it's really good to be able to weave those together into a complete issue.
You know, you mentioned Marianne. Who are some other editors on staff of Whispering Prairie Press?
Well, Annie Robb keeps me sane all the time, so I have to give her...
She's a super talented writer.
She's insanely talented, and she'll be reading tomorrow night at the MLB design event that we're doing in coordination with Crystal. Other art editors, Dean Kuby was an art editor this issue. My senior prose editor was Pat Daneman. Alan Proctor, who actually has a new book out right now. Stephanie Hughes, Dane Zeller, Teresa Vrattle, Jenny Stahl came on as a copy editor, and she's got an eye. It's not my strong suit at all. I'm more of mm-hmm. the big picture person, so to have somebody who can focus on the fine details is very helpful for me.
You know, and to put together this fine collection of work and art, you're all volunteers.
Yes, yeah, we are all volunteers, and we're in a position right now where I've been running the editorial board as well as the executive board, which runs the nonprofit, for the past mm-hmm. 4 years. So we're lucky enough to have a new president coming on in January. Her name's Jennifer Wewers, and we're going to build out the executive board so we can have the nonprofit running the way we want to. And unfortunately, until that board is solidified and we have the volunteers in place, we aren't going to be able to open for submissions in December mm-hmm. like we mm-hmm. normally would. Mm-hmm. Once Jen has the board set up, and I'm staying on board that board as well, I'm just not running
sure.
it, then we'll have the editorial board be able to take off and just hit the ground running with the great expertise that we've had the past few years on the production side.
So if people are interested in submitting later on down the road, you can
Definitely.
Give us your website?
Yeah, we're at wppress.org, and that's as in whisperingprairiepress.org. Mm-hmm. And we do have a contest that's open for submissions right now. It's a Troubadours-inspired poetry contest. Mm-hmm. There is a cash prize, and you can submit up to 3 poems for your entry. And what we're looking for is poems that are either inspired by modern songwriters, or it doesn't really matter, but any one of the troubadour fashion or poems in a troubadour style. And we had a very generous donor out of Texas step in and offer to fund this, and so we're excited to have it out there.
Beautiful.
That's open through November 30th. Mm-hmm. And if you go to wppress.org, there's a tab that says Troubadours Poetry Contest, and get your entries in. We haven't
That's
had
awesome.
As many as we'd like, so you have a good chance if you can participate.
The submission process is incredibly smooth and user-friendly. And I should mention, too, that the artists who are published in Kansas City Voices do receive a nice, small, but very kind sort of acknowledgement of their work, which
it is
unheard of,
it's
especially in a
hugely
local
important
publication.
To us.
It's really wonderful.
Yeah, it's hugely important to us to be able to pay our poets and writers and artists, because so many times you just get paid in copies or exposure, and there's something about the validation of getting that first paycheck for your creative work that just makes mm-hmm. you feel like you're in a whole new area.
Yeah, it's wonderful.
So again, we want to mention that the Kansas City Voices, the launch party for the Volume 13 is Sunday, October 11th from 4 to 5:30 at the Plaza Branch Public Library at 4801 Main Street here in Kansas City. So the event's going to be held downstairs in the conference room area, and so there will be the contributors, staff, and patrons to that will attend. And you'll be able to meet and maybe talk with Crystal and other creative people there at
the
event.
10 great readers lined up. Since it's my last launch as president, I wanted to get as many readers in as we could. So we've got Glenn North, Tammy Littlejohn, Leah Merrill, John Peterson, Annie Newcomer, Jennifer Leeper, Alan Proctor, Ann Wycliffe, Gladys Houghton, and Don Downey will all be reading.
That's a pretty good lineup. And Crystal, you will be there as well?
I hope to be, and we are having sort of a pre-launch this Thursday. The magazine will be available at MLB Design. Will be open for business and camaraderie from 5 until 8 p.m. tomorrow night, and that's at 2020 Baltimore. And then I'll also be representing the magazine at the Hobbs Open Studio.
Oh, great.
I'll be showing the piece that's on the cover as well as the magazine, making
now,
it available.
At the MLB fundraiser on the 8th, will the rest of the work be there, or just a few pieces here and there?
Our dedicated gallery show is what will be up, but there will be readers.
We are going to have three readers.
Annie. That's wonderful.
Yeah, Annie Robb's reading. Annie's been doing some really controversial, I would say,
art criticism in the area. Yeah.
She's a fantastic fiction writer, so I kind of hope she's reading fiction, but she's reading, Don Downey's reading, she's got a new book that launches on Saturday, so we wanted to give her a chance to read, and then Dane Zeller will be reading too. He has been doing drive-by romance stories, which are kind of short, funny flash fiction romances, and he's drawn towards mystery, so I have no, it's a mystery what he'll be reading. I have no idea.
It's always entertaining.
And Crystal, you did mention the Hobbs open house. Want to talk about
October 16th and 17th. Studios throughout the building are open to the public. There's always music and food available Friday evening. The food will be provided by El Tenedor, and the live music will be the Tiny Flowers. But all from the second floor to the fifth floor, it's just a wonderful maze of creative pursuits, and it's a highly recommended event.
You know, it's really a beautiful building. I was there back in the early 90s when I actually had put plywood over my windows, and that, you know, had to unscrew those and open them the same way at night. And now it's just beautiful. You know, it's just a terrific building.
It's a beautiful space.
And when I was there again, the Bonton Accordion Band had a practice space below me.
That's inspiring.
Brett Chenoweth was there, and just a whole other, a lot of different artists. So it's great to see that it's thriving, and I know they have an event space there as well that's pretty popular.
Right. I think they do a good business there as well.
Is there a website that folks can check out for the Hobbs Open Studio?
We have a Facebook page up, an event page, and I'm not sure if we have a website, but we've been putting flyers and posters out everywhere, and it's kind of an event since it's biannual. It's something that people look forward to.
Yeah, it is just a very festive sort of event, so very good. Any last words? Anything that I left out that you might want to mention to our...
I just want to say thank you for all that you do. You do a great job of promoting local artists and writers, and
thank you.
What you do is very important, and what the station does is very important. So we're very glad to donate to the cause by providing magazines, and I do think people should definitely donate to kkfi.org as soon as they can.
I want to donate a piece for the pledge drive, if I can.
Absolutely. Okay. Thank you so much. You know, that's, I'm really grateful of your support. You know, ArtSpeak Radio came about because, as artists, we needed a voice. As writers, we needed people to know what the creative community is about. So I'm very happy to, just sort of put everyone on air. I get a lot of calls from people that want to come on and talk about openings and readings and that sort of thing, and I love it. It's almost a little overwhelming because I'm trying to fit everybody in, but it's important to have that voice of the artists, of
the
creative community.
It's the heart of this city.
So thank you all for your generous support and work that you do in the city, because we all work together as community, right?
It's wonderful.
It's
very
thank
good.
You so much.
Thank you. So again, thank you so much, Jessica Connolly and Crystal Hyland, Whispering Prairie Press at www.wppress.org and Kansas City Voices, and the Hobbs Open Studio that's coming up, MLB fundraiser on the 8th, which will also... It's the official launch at the library on Sunday, tongue-tied, on the 11th, and the Troubadours Poetry Contest, which folks can find out on the website. Thank you so much. We're going to go take a quick break, and we'll be right back with Art Speak Radio. Welcome back to Art Speak Radio. I'm Maria Vasquez Boyd, your host, and we have a very special time right now happening, going on at the station. We have our fall pledge drive, and we're waiting to hear from you at 888-931-0901 with your pledge. And we've got my lovely radio husband and mentor, Mark Manning, in the studio.
Hello, Maria.
Hi, babe.
Hi, we're so proud of you and so proud of this radio program, Art Speak Radio. You spent quite a while getting this show on the airwaves, and we're so happy to have this show because there's no other show like this on 90.1 FM, no other show that brings information about the visual arts and literary arts
on a
weekly basis.
Yeah, it's important.
So if you believe in this show and if you believe in our amazing arts community here in Kansas City, show your support right now. Call 888-931-0901. Maria Vasquez Boyd is my radio wife.
We're going to make it official one of these
days. That's right. And I want you to support my wife, by golly. So now's the time. Call 888-931-0901. Someone's calling the 931-5534 number, but we need you to call the 888-931-0901. You can also go to our website, kkfi.org, and make a contribution. At the $90 level, you can get our wonderful KKFI long sleeve t-shirt. That's what I like. If you don't like t-shirts, we have a couple of different ticket packages available for you. And one of them is to go to the KKFI Hoedown, which is on October 17th with a lot of amazing people like Betsy and Clark and Sarah Morgan and the Starhaven Rounders. And
Starhaven Rounders. Oh, no.
We know them. That guy, Bill Sundahl, he's in that band.
He's pretty darn cute.
You like his tattoo, I know that. Also, we have a pair of tickets to the Macabre KC Halloween Night at Knuckleheads. It's a great way to spend your Halloween night with my brothers and sisters. They're full band playing with Jessica Page, Kelvin Arsenia, Stefan Singleton, who's going to be on our show in a couple of weeks, Christian Robinson. Just an amazing night where they're going to be projecting scenes from horror films and playing from those film soundtracks. Also, it's a multimedia, multi-stage event. $90 will get you the t-shirt or tickets to either one of those events. $150 brings you the guest DJ. $200 will get the guest DJ plus either the t-shirts or the tickets. And then, Maria, you have a special thank you gift, don't you?
I sure do. For $50 to show your support, you will record poems, poetry, prose, whatever you want in the recording studio for 10 minutes with me. And you can just bring your work, just read it. We'll do some minimal editing. And you bring your flash drive, download the work, and it's yours. It's done.
You can make your own EP. A lot of really famous people made their first record in a radio station. There's recording equipment and microphones. Why not?
Why not?
Here we have the facilities, and Maria will help you. I can't think of about a person that I would want to have help me.
Well, you know, I did this at the Spring Fun Drive, and several artists, writers took advantage of that, and they were really pleased. You know, and like I said, I think it could be used as a track for a visual poem, you know.
It could be. I know a poet who is renting space in one of Kansas City's premier studios, Joel Nanos at Element Recording, mm-hmm. and she's going in there to record a whole bunch of trucks, and that cost a lot of money to do that.
Yeah, I had talked to Barry Lee about that, and he says it's really about a, you know, $100 a minute. So
a minute?
That's
wow. Okay.
Well, I'm just making things up now, but I'm sure it's very costly. But you know, I also want to mention that our guest that we had on just a little bit ago, Jessica Connolly from Whispering Press Prairie and.
Whispering Prairie Press?
I'm sorry, yes. And Kansas City Voices. She generously gave us some wonderful magazines. For a $25 pledge, you will receive one of the Kansas City Voices premier magazines. It hasn't even launched yet. And also, Crystal Highland is offering an original painting for the first $500 pledge.
Oh, my word.
How generous
well
is that?
Well worth it.
You know, this is what I love about our community and about the creative community. We all help one another, and we need that.
We do. We need you to call 888-931-0901. This radio station is kind of a miracle in broadcasting. We're not corporately owned by some national company that programs all the music out of some office in some faraway place. This is people. This radio station was started by people here in the neighborhood, and there's over 100 volunteers that come in and volunteer themselves.
Volunteer, yeah.
Like Maria, you have a passion. Maria is an artist and a writer and a poet, and she's wanting to share the stage with other musicians, writers, poets, artists, feature them on the radio, and help tell more people about what's going on in our community. That's what this show's all about. If you believe in that, please call 888-931-0901.
You know, and in the past, we've had so many artists, Damon Lee Patterson, Seth Johnson, Molly Kadurka, Norma Cantu. We've had a lot of arts organizations, Arts KC, Artists Inc., you know, just so many organizations that people have learned so much about, you know, through this station. So we want to continue that. We want you all to become well aware of who's here in the community. Give us a call, 888-931-0901, and show your support.
Folks from the art institutions and the literary art institutions come on this program. I know that the very week that the Art Institute got an anonymous $25 million donation, the interim director of the Art Institute came on this program and talked about what they're going to be doing with that money that's going to help other people be able to go to school. They're going to have scholarship programs, and they're going to be helping to rebuild certain parts of the campus. And that's really interesting news that we learned about on this program.
And he needs to share that donor's name with us.
Yes, that's the one thing I didn't find out when I filled in for you that day. Who made that donation?
That was great. You know, and you know, Mark has been at the station for a long time, over 500 episodes, right?
We're getting ready to do our 600th show of the Wednesday Midday Medley. And prior to that, I spent 9 years working on the 10th Voice. And I know I met you because we both had board meetings for the groups that we worked with at the Writer's Place. And we kind of bumped into each other as we were setting up for our different meetings. And I just was, you need to come on the radio. And Maria started producing shows on Wednesday Midday Medley, and that led to you. It's like, you need to get your own show, girl. You know,
and that's how we do it here. And because it is community radio, he offered me, you know, through his generosity and belief in having new voices on there, he was able to invite me to his program. And that's sort of the opportunity that we all are giving people in the community, whether it's a public affairs show or a music show.
And I learned from you. You brought a whole bunch of information and a whole new world into my life. I'm now friends with Chico.
Oh, yeah?
And Cheto. And Jose. Yeah, and so many people that I met because of you and because of your involvement in the radio. So Chico Sierra, I saw him at the Record Bar last Friday night.
Yeah.
And he told me to tell you hi.
Oh, bless his heart. Well, you know, we want you to call 888-931-0901 to keep our community radio going, especially this program. And again, for $50, you can earn the opportunity to record poems, prose, haikus, whatever it is you want. with me in the studio here at KKFI and just bring your flash drive and let's get it done.
Definitely. We need you to call. Now is the time. This program has about 27 minutes left. We want you to call during the show, 888-931-0901, or go to kkfi.org. Maria not only hosts this program and produces it and does all the work that it takes to produce our weekly radio show, which I think takes about 20 to 40 hours a week to produce a radio show, a one-hour radio show.
There's a, say, there's I a mean, lot of work I know you in have.
Well, you have to line up all the guests, research it, promote the show, and then actually do the show itself. Along with that, Maria also serves as the active member chair for the active members of our organization here at 90.1 FM, the Midcoast Radio Project. The active members are the people that vote on our board of directors and our standing committees. And Maria stepped up to the plate to serve in a leadership role in our governance at this station also. So people that do your radio shows are involved in so many things. Aside from all of that, you're a working artist and a working writer and poet and a mom and a wife and have a whole life. So you give a huge chunk of your life to this station every week. Now is the time for the listeners of the show to give a little bit to support that. 888-931-0901. And you can be an investor in this miracle of broadcasting called KKFI. We need to hear from you.
We need to.
Like 88% of our budget comes from the on-air fund drives that we do, and it's real important that we hear from you at this time.
Bless your heart. Thank you so much, my dear friend.
I love you.
I love you, Mark Manning. You're the best.
You're the best. And I love your guest. You have an amazing guest, amazing poet coming up on the show.
That is Natasha Rhea El-Skari. She is she has a presence in this place, right?
Yes.
You know, I want to read something that she has written in her artist statement. I am certain that if I do not write, I do not live. I know because in small bursts of my life, when I have not written, there is less joy. Writing is my breath and performance is my dance. The favorite song on the iPod, I just have to move to. Poetry is the prominent medium I use to reflect my art and life. Beautiful. Thank you so much, Natasha Rhea El-Skari.
Thank you for having me. It's great to be back here.
You know, it's like you come into the building and there's just this electricity in the air. We love having you here at the station.
Thank you so much. This is just like the best location ever. And anytime I have a chance to come and hug on you for a few minutes
I love
and
it.
Be in your presence, I am equally excited. So thank
Bless
you for having me.
Well, you know, you want to talk about your latest release, which I'm really excited. Let's tell our listeners.
Yeah, let's jump in. I am the ninth poet in the Pop series, and from Spartan Press. The title of my book is called Screaming Times, and it is a collection, 21 poems from the year 2000 to 2015 of probably what I consider or what others have considered maybe the most popular spoken word poems that I've done.
Mm-hmm.
I have always wanted to do a collection like this.
Mm-hmm.
So I was excited when I was approached by Jason Ryberg and Jeanette Powers to come on board for this. I was excited about the diversity of writers.
Yeah, there was just a number of
their commitment
people
that and to be in the first year of it. And so it was really about just pulling together poems, and I did want to show a breadth of work, some of my early stuff, mm-hmm. all the way to things that have been that I've written this year in mm-hmm. 2015. Some of them have already appeared, one in Togood Journal, and one will be appearing in Southern Humanities Review this fall. So I'm excited
Beautiful.
About both of those, and really, I think. But the photography was done by Damon Lee Patterson. Let me say that
Don't
first.
Don't you love him? Yeah.
My dear brother, Damon Lee Patterson, who got to see the shy side of me. You know, I try to tell people that
what?
There are two things that make me shy.
Uh-huh.
I love snapshots, selfies, things with friends.
Sure.
But if someone says photo shoot, I'm like, oh! It just kind of, I don't know about being the singular subject of something.
There's something naked about having that camera, something exposed about, having that camera right in your face.
Yeah, even with someone you know and trust.
Yeah,
like,
I get it.
And so Damon completely fooled me. And he was just talking to me. He's like, well, we're just going to, you know, check some lighting and all this stuff. Mm-hmm. And he was talking to me about the project. And it was like, finally, because it took two shoots. Like, I just was like, Damon, I'm really not great at this. You have to believe me. And he was like, whoa, okay, this is not you. And so when we looked through the pictures, we felt like that one really captured it, what the book is about, the title, and what's inside. So,
and the title is?
Screaming Times.
Yeah.
The title is Screaming Times. And it really is a collection of frustration, incantation, celebration, and a touch of resolve.
You know, and sitting here watching you talk about it, it's almost as though it's like a child. Like something that you know, there's so much vested emotionally in that. I mean, it feels like just this other human sort of.
Yeah, I think that is
that
what
you've
it's
given
like.
Birth to. Yeah.
Yeah, what it's like to be a writer. I mean, you're a writer too, and you're also a parent, and I'm a parent of. I'm a traditional parent, meaning I gave birth to two children. Right. My son Nazir is 16 and my daughter Naima is 12.
Gosh.
And I have, of course, was writing before they were born. But I think in putting this book together, as I was thinking about what was going on in my life during these certain poems, and it really does carry. So there are poems about not being in the restroom since my first child was born, and then there are poems about, you know, what it's like to have a teenage son who is African American and male in such a volatile time. And so it is a baby. You know, these poems are, because I've had to always negotiate a space with my poems and with motherhood.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a very tricky relationship. And so I would say that my children would say that my writing is like another sibling that they have to function around, they have to check in on. And it's so beautiful to see their different relationships with my writing, right? My son is all about the writing part, the process, the, you know, putting it together and the idea part of it that we will sometimes discuss. And he loves to see the events, and he's very extroverted and likes to meet people and reconnect with people. Whereas my daughter is completely over it, does not need any of that. And she more enjoys the writing circle. And I have writing circle every week at my house, and that's what she enjoys. She just enjoys being in the presence of that. Neither one of them are writers.
You know, I was going to ask.
I would say that they are. My son is very math science, but recently he has a challenge. He has to write a 15-line poem, and he said, I am so excited about this.
Wow.
And I was like, really? I thought he was going to say, I'm not excited about this. But, you know, he recently thanked me for raising him as a child of an artist, because he said it helps him to look at the world creatively. And I think that there's something greater than a math science person saying that. Being exposed and around all these amazing artists have made me see that there is more than one way to answer a question, and that art and science and math go together. They're not opposite.
Yeah, absolutely.
And my daughter is an aerialist, and so that is her artistic expression. I've been trying to get her to choreograph a dance so I can do a poem to it, and she keeps refusing.
I love that idea.
Yeah, she's amazing. Yeah.
The timing may not be right, but I mean, you've planted that seed for something,
yes,
you know.
Absolutely. Well, it's going to happen eventually, you know.
Yeah.
Maybe when she turns like 19 or 20, I can cut off tuition and say, we got to do this together or else. I mean, I wouldn't do that. But,
but you know, your children are really very, very lovely. And, you know, as a woman, you know, and with children, sometimes they are, well, I should speak for myself, that there's something that inspires me about, you know, birth and growth and, you know, moving forward and all that, that really sort of translates into writing or painting and that sort of thing. I mean, I think they're really good source of sources of inspiration.
Yeah, I had to get to that place, though.
Yeah.
I wasn't always there. I was kind of angry when I was a willing mother. I was, you know, married, and I was married to a man who wanted children, and that was what we negotiated in our marriage. And I had never planned to be a mother. And I remember when my son was first born, I wrote this poem, and it said, "This poem will be short. I am a new mother." I just remember being, that was like my attempt to hold on to my writing life. And I was angry that I couldn't, you know, nurse and write. And, you know, I just didn't have the same freedom.
Yeah.
And anyone who says that they do, I just would question maybe how they mother. Mm-hmm. Not if they're a good or bad mother, but just how they mother. And because I was raised by such an amazing mother and I had such an amazing life, I wanted my children to have that. And, you know, my mother is always like, you want more for the next generation. So, you know, I had formal education and all of those things. And so I was like, well, you know, I need to, here I am with a master's degree. My life, my children's life should be completely different than my life was. And my life was awesome. So I dedicated my life to being a good mom, and to education, you know, and to educating other people's children. And so, now that my children are older and they have lived, I never gave up my writing, but there were years where it was slight, you know, because it just, or when I was hiding out in the bathroom, I mean, you know, you know what that's like. And pulling over, and then I learned how you can write at practices, and you can write at stoplights, and
Oh my gosh, you know.
I mean, you just fit it in where you can, you know,
post-it notes on the top.
That's right, and I'm still that way, and not a Sakishana Gay. You know, she says sometimes you got to let the macaroni burn, and that is true. Like I'll be writing something, or if they're doing homework, I'm like, well, let me sit down and, you know, do the same thing, but it was a clash, and I am not going to give a romantic view of it.
Yeah, yeah.
Sometimes I was I felt slighted. I felt like, you know, I know it's not like this for male artists. I know they don't have the same challenges of being, you know, a parent, because I knew too many of them.
You know, and that I always ask that, well, I shouldn't say always, but that's a question that I find intriguing with writers, women writers and painters and all that. You know, how do you juggle? And they sort of look at me sometimes like, well, I just do. But that's something that we should, that I would love to explore in a program, just a group of women artists, writers, and creative people, and come on the air and just let's talk about that. Let's have that discussion. Interested?
I definitely am interested. I was thinking about a time when I realized the power of yellow and pink and orange highlighters.
Oh, gosh.
And I would give my daughter highlighters to also write with me when she was a toddler. And I have all these, you know, poems in which she's written all over, because she would like scratch out my poems and, you know, do stuff like that. Yeah. I was like, if I give her a highlighter, it won't go away. Like, and so then,
good idea.
And I would be in grad school, and then I would be in class, and I would find these little pictures of like a little stick girl or a flower. And then it became like, oh, you know, she's present for that. You know, it's a beast, but I've been surrounded by community, and now, two of my writing friends, Gustavo Adolfo Ibar and Aisha Sharif, are newer parents. So they have the 0 to 5 year olds, and they are writing. And I realized that you have to have writing support and community. Anastasia Tolbert and Faith Scott and I would have writing circle from 6 p.m. on Friday night until 3 in the morning. And we would do that. And so for me, writing circles and writing community, because even if I didn't write any other time, I knew when we came together for writing circle, that would be the time that I would write. And I've had that at my house for years. And even being a part of the Cave Canem community just reignited that for me. And I was like, yeah, I need to get back to having a writing circle. So,
and, you know, I know you have some work for us that you want to read and you want to share with our listeners. But before that, I do want to thank Stephen of Kansas City, Kansas, for pledging, of calling our line and pledging to this program, ArtSpeak Radio, and to KKFI. Thank you so very much, Stephen. We're really grateful that you've made KKFI a priority.
Awesome. And I also want to dedicate three books for however you want to
disseminate them to
people who
are
donating. That is my contribution.
Bless your heart. Thank you so much.
Thank you. I'll have them here. They'll be autographed copies. You'll want them now because I'm going to be an international star.
You are, honey.
So, you know, I was trying to find something that would be suitable for the radio. and I wrote this poem, I think it was in 2009. I'm not exactly sure because it's not written here. But people would often ask me, what are you? What are you? And so I used to hide from that question. I can't say I hid. I used to avoid it, you know, because I would answer it, but I didn't like to. So I found an appropriate response. And it's really, you know, I think for anyone who maybe has a variety of belief systems. So this is called Citizen of the World. You ask me what I believe. I am a citizen of the world, siesta every Thursday from 12 to 3, pray 5 times a day quite religiously because it feels the need in me. Flip the tarot cards, follow the signs of the void of course moon to make my decisions about what business deal to do. I am a citizen of the world. I feed my children with fish and bread loaves. Abraham and Israel, I recall the lessons of Khadijah and chant the Rastafarian belief that Selassie I was king, taking the ganja when I breathe. I am a citizen of the world. Dahomey Amazon warrior slice breast on the right side to make for that perfect aim in case I have to send you a warning shot to back off my uterus and ovaries. I am a citizen of the world. Ask me what I believe and I will tell you that there is something sacred about the blood and body of Christ. Ask me what I believe and I will tell you, as I bow in namaste, that meditation is what leads me. So yes, I do believe there was Jesus Christ. Yes, I do believe in Abraham. Yes, I do believe in Allah. Yes, I do hear the moon chant praises to me. Yes, I am a feminist. Yes, I am a Buddhist. Yes, I am a straight ally. And yes, I don't have no need to lie. I read tarot cards and astrology compatibility manuals to figure out my daughter's moods today. They do not contradict, only assist me on this sacred journey. I am a citizen of the world, and if you are too narrow to see that our infinite source called all these fantastic names would only make one path, well, you can borrow my indigo children's glasses because you lack vision, and that is okay too, because just the smallest vein, it still gets a little information to you. I am a citizen of Mother Earth, and there is just something right about praying over something before you kill it or eat it or use every square inch of it to live. I was a vegetarian for 15 years. Now I eat chicken and fish, but the cow is still sacred, please. Pass the cheese, no pork, no gelatin. Hold the chitlins next to my greens. Either way, I pray over it. Give thanks for its last breath so my flesh keeps on breathing. Hell, one day I may even be a vegan. I am a citizen of the world. In me there are no walls, there is no building, no synagogue, no mosque, no outside pagan ritual or festival that can control or confine me. I am heathen and saint. I drum beat, I dream catcher the evil spells and cast them with a pendulum that vibrates to balance my chakras, all the while believing there is no adversary to the Most High. I try not to lie when you ask me, how are you today? I cleanse my space with sage and lavender and lay hands over my children's crown chakras while I say to them, you are African, so they will have another amazing day. I am a citizen of the world. I just believe that my way is my way and that your way is the right way, mine not any more right or less sacred than yours. And that goes for same-sex marriage, too. Love is love. God is love. I am love. We are love. I take the pieces that make all the pieces of me to create peace all around me. I am fraction upon fraction of broken culture, oppression, and compromise, yet I am still whole. We can do all our ways without the judgment and war antics. I am a citizen of the world, make no mistake or confusion. These hips, these lips, the drum beats that live in my nappy hair and move me at night are African, but thrusted into this nation's existence has made me somewhat of a hybrid, so I combine gas and electric to ignite the healing in this light. I know and do believe that the me there is made up of all these things. I can keep my grandmother's hymns and my grandfather's blues, my mother's commitment and my sister's command of the dance floor. I can be all that and more, unfolding again and again on this and any other dimension. You will need to change the color and shape of that box if you plan to put me in it. Make room for my prayer feathers and body piercings. They go with me because I believe even tantric pleasure. See, that's God moving all through me. And you can have some of this beautifulness too, baby. Come here. Did I mention that I love you? And like my late sister said, baby, you gotta do you. So my heart is all the passport I need to claim universal citizenship and infinite expressions too. Most High, Mama Earth, Holy Spirit, I am, I am, I am. And so it is, and so are you, a citizen of the world. Ashe.
Beautiful. Oh, my goodness. God, that's beautiful. How do our listeners get hold of your book?
Yes, I am selling my book on my website, which is www.natasharia.com.
But we can't give out prices, but they can go to the website.
Yes. Okay. Okay. Did I give out a price?
Okay.
I did?
Oh, oh no, no, no.
Good. I was going to say, I was like, oh, I hope I didn't. No. But it's NATASHARIA. .com. And there is a bundle that I am really encouraging people, because it has the book, it has both my CDs and a DVD. So you get to get the printed page, you get something for your ear, something for your eye. And a lot of two of those projects are with some amazing jazz musicians here in Kansas City. So I don't want to miss that, but yes, please check out the website. There's video there, and
what a beautiful collaboration. You know, I want to thank you so much for coming on the program and sharing your work with us, sharing your beautiful energy and words. Natasha Rhea Elskari, best of luck with your wonderful, wonderful book of words.
Thank you, and I do want to encourage everyone to participate in the pledge, you know. Yeah. I mean, if everybody gave $5, $10, it makes a huge difference. So I would like to challenge the community that supports me to go to the website, because I think they're more website people, kkfi.org. And, you know, maybe give a latte. I call it the latte donation. $5. Yeah. Give $5
you
to
it. You can do it. We'll be happy to take it.
Yeah, Maria, you're an amazing person.
Thank you so much. I love you.
Thanks
back
for having me. Absolutely. A shout out to my mom and my children and my nephew. I love you all.
Please come back and see us.
All right. Thank you.
Very good. And I want to let our listeners know that coming up in the next hour will be Jazz in the Afternoon with Jeff Harshbarger, followed by 3 o'clock, Old G's Hangout with Groovy Grant. At 6 o'clock, All Souls Forum. 7 o'clock, American Roots. And at 9 o'clock, The Classical Challenge. I do want to thank you all for tuning in today and making KKFI a priority. Thank you to Jessica Connolly and Crystal Hyland of Whispering Prairie Press and the Hobbs Open Studio that's coming up. Also, to the wonderful Natasha Rhea Elskari and her words. You know, I did have a caller that wanted to know about the Kansas City Voices launch party that takes place October 11th, 4 to 5:30 at the Plaza Branch Public Library. Next week, October 14th, we'll have Hector Casanova, who is a professor at the Art Institute, along with the illustration students, to talk about the Skerritt Mural Project. And they'll be on air next week, along with Dr. Luis Cordoba with the Kansas City School District. So stay tuned, and I thank you all for your support here at the station. And I'm going to leave you with this Take Two promo. And thank you all for listening. Honey, I'm coming home.
Hi, I'm Russ Simmons.
And I'm Susan Sanders.
And this is Take Two, two takes at a movie currently playing in the Kansas City area. And today the topic is an adventure based on a true story, and it's called Everest.
Climbing up that mountain. It's a true story, as you say, and I read the book by John Krakauer back in the 90s, and the book was fantastic. I mean, it was thrilling, and the stories about the different characters who wanted to achieve this goal of climbing Everest, it was a very good read. But the movie, I think, fell short.
It's a docudrama of sorts.
Yes.
This story has been chronicled in various media, as you mentioned, the book, and then, of course, the documentaries. And it's a tragic, true story. But I think the weakness of this film is that it's so scattered, that mm-hmm. there's so many different stories that it's trying to tell, that there's not enough time given to any one to make it that compelling.
You're right. And it seemed to follow that same formula as the film Perfect Storm with mm-hmm. George Clooney.
Right.
And even one of the minor characters in that film was in this film. But that film seemed to capture more engagement of the characters with the audience. This one did not.
But here's where this movie does have strength, and it is tremendous, and that is in the visuals.
Oh, yes.
Absolutely puts you on that mountain. Your palms will sweat. If you have any fear of heights, forget about it. I saw this in IMAX 3D, and
yes.
it was absolutely spectacular.
Really?
And it is much more effective, I think, in that format. But it's a little bit wooden in its dramatic content.
I agree with you. I did not see it in 3D. I think I probably would have gotten vertigo if I had.
Right.
But the scenes where the women are crying and all that, it just seemed, I don't know.
Melodramatic?
Yeah.
I'm Russ Simmons.
And I'm Susan Sanders.
And this is Take Two.
Some unions have